ultimate the games until it dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I'm watching the games until it dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Alright, this is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 99. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
And God, I hope this sounds good, because last week we got tore in half. The show, it sucked. The quality was so bad.
Yeah, my box sucks.
This is entirely Kobar's fault here. We have to blame him, I'm sorry. But now we've got a whole new box that this thing is on, but we'll get to that in just a second here. The website's hwhq.com. The email, for now, is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. That's c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us and a whole bunch of others on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. You got to put the little pound symbol in front of that if you don't know how IRC works. And let's see, what else happened this week? The site. We had to move the site to a different host. We did that last week, and things were not ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
The show was not ironed out. It was so hard to edit that I did not want to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
But since it had been 2 weeks already, we had to.
Right.
And the quality was just absolute shit, and I must apologize, because it was painful to listen to. I had to sit here and edit it, and I knew how bad it was, and there was nothing I could do. I tried everything to make it sound better, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, you were working on that for like 3 hours.
Yeah, for quite a bit of time. We tried all kinds of weird little tricks, too. Tried cloning one of the We usually, you know, it's recorded in not real stereo, but it recorded weird as hell last time.
Yeah, one of the channels was actually, like, quieter than the other for some reason.
Yeah, it was really strange. So we cloned the louder, the left channel, and pasted it back together like a stereo file, and it still didn't help. There was way too much going on, but Kobar says that he's got some kind of a problem with the sound in games anywhere that I didn't know. I didn't know that until about 10 seconds ago, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. But we've actually got the site back up. The only bad thing that happened during that whole big move is the forum went down.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing I could do. I backed it up and everything. I thought we were all set. I was going to be able to drop it right back in. It will not restore. So we actually had quite a bit of posts on there and quite a bit of people on there, too, and that's all gone now. So we're starting from ground zero. It's not so bad, though, because we've got a bunch of new themes and everything with the new host we're with. They actually have it set up so really, really well, so that I actually have access to the forum software itself, like all of it, so I can do whatever the hell I want. So I'm able to put themes in real easy, unlike before, where you had to use their funky-ass web interface.
Right.
I couldn't monkey with shit. So uploading a theme would take you like a half an hour. Now it takes me like 20 seconds.
Yeah, not all in all, this is a very good move.
And, yeah.
I'm certainly happy.
Me too. We got a whole lot more bandwidth to spare now. We got way more. So we will never run out of storage. There is no way that we can run out of storage. This is fantastic. I could even put all the old shows up there. And I'm thinking about doing that too, just to have them there. I mean, why not use the space if we have it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's pretty cool. Really happy about that. The RSS feed. Finally. I know this was me slacking. This was not anything else, but I was just simply too lazy to go find, like, read like a 10-second thing on how to, you know, whip up a basic RSS feed and then go steal somebody's that works and change the things I needed to around until I made it work. Then it turned out it didn't work in iTunes, which isn't so bad. That really doesn't bother me.
No, what's bad is that you had to, like, get iTunes and
yes.
screw around with it to make it work.
Yeah, because, you know, it was like, well, I can't just screw all the iTunes people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to sit around there and install that horrible piece of software, which was just all kinds of bad for multiple different reasons. But it's gone now, and the RSS feed, I do believe, works on iTunes. So
okay.
That's good to know. If you don't know how to get where it is, it's hwhq.com/rss.xml. And if you're using something slick like Firefox, it will tell you that. I actually don't think Explorer, like the current basic one,
mm-hmm.
has that. Like, I really don't think it does. I don't know. I don't use Explorer. But I'm pretty sure it doesn't have it built in where it like tells you that that's there. But on Firefox, it will tell you that this site has an RSS feed. And it has like a little icon on the bottom.
Microsoft finally started stealing Firefox's ideas. Like, the next Explorer, the one that's in beta right
Seven
now...
Seven has it all, yeah.
...is going to have tabs and
yeah,
whatnot.
Yeah, and it has all that whole RSS thing and everything. Because, like, IE6, I believe, has tabs also. You have to get some kind of a modification for it, but I thought it was from Microsoft. It's like the Microsoft toolbar.
Mm.
And it, like, plugs itself into IE, and I believe it, like, they rigged up tabs to work.
Still a piece of crap. But
exactly. I am by no means saying use their browser, because it is so not worth it. I would not wish that upon my worst. I had to use it the other day for something, like, at work. I got to use it all the time, you know, but, like, I actually had to use it for something. And I kept thinking my browser's broken. I kept going to do stuff, and it didn't work. I was like, oh, fuck this thing.
Sucks. I have to use IE at work. They will not let me put Firefox on.
Right. That blows.
Yeah, it does.
See, you know, do you have any kind of way to, like, get it on there, though? Like, say...
Oh, yeah, I could go download it and install it, and but I can't. It's against the rules.
Oh, okay. See, now, I've got it on my my little USB flash drive. I have portable Firefox, which runs on the drive.
Mm.
So that I can run it on there and use it and have my own set of bookmarks and everything and just carry it around with me. And let's see, the mirror site from Zayfan. I swear to God, I made all the effort in the world to set up, to drop some, like, I was going to put like the last 10 shows or something,
mm-hmm.
so that we'd have a mirror up there, so an alternate place for people to get it, whether we're blocked at their work or our site's lagging ass for whatever reason. So I start the upload, and like halfway through one show, his site goes down for whatever reason.
Oh.
I was like, oh, son of a bitch. I finally, like, made the effort for the, you know, first time in like 3 weeks. And his site went down. I'm sure it's up now, but I just haven't checked. I've been just too busy running around. So once we get that rolling, things are going to be pretty slick on the site. I even had a chance to update the links finally on the site. A lot of sites are down, you know,
right.
or gone away. Some things needed to be changed. We got all kinds of stuff done this week. One hell of a busy week. And it was a busy week for us for email also, because we actually did get quite a bit of email too, and I think this is the best email ever here. This is so fat, okay? This is what we were just joking about, sort yourself out. this is the kind of story we gotta hear right here for our a section like that. Okay, this is from Geo King, and it's, the subject is time to kick ass and chew. And I was reading the, you know, I was browsing around, I was looking at the email, and I wasn't really reading, I was just kind of reading subjects, and I was like, what the hell, this has something to do with Duke Nukem, doesn't it? So I had to sit and look at this, because this is one hell of a great email, check this out. Okay, it says, let's see, you must know, we all must know, the day I reserved my copy of Duke Nukem Forever by Geo King. Hey, check this out, okay, it was like a year ago, it was a magical day. School had just finished for the time being, and I was in a good mood. Why might you ask? Because I was about to go on a journey, an expedition, if you will. I was going to reserve my copy of Duke Nukem Forever at a local video game store near my school. I proclaimed to a friend of mine what I was about to do, and he said, "Are you on crack? That game was canceled." However, I ignored his insults and moved forwards while saying, "If you really feel that way, why are you following me?" I walked along an incredibly busy street with the haze of car exhaust tickling my nose. Early in the day, I had pulled an all-nighter to finish a project my professor gave me an extension on, so I was extremely tired, but nothing could stop me that day. I was like a machine, a man on a mission. I would not let anything get in my way. My mouth salivating once I entered the mall, I beelined straight to the video game store. Passing the precious Pizza Nova next to the food court, which I consider to be my lifeblood, I walked more rapidly. My foot glided over the threshold of the video game store, people moving out of my way, they knew. To stand in front of me at that moment in time would be a date with death like no other. Calmly, I said to the clerk, "Hey, I'm here to reserve a game." For a short while, that store was like a little hangout to me, and the clerk knew me well. We would spend minutes, sometimes hours, discussing relevant gaming issues while browsing the used game bin. He answered, "How's it going?" I was in no mood to talk. The urge to finish the transaction grew stronger. I would like to put a $5 deposit for Duke Nukem Forever. He looked at me with an evil smile, almost scoffing. "That game is never going to come out, you know?" I clenched my fist below the counter where he could not see and grinded my teeth just a little bit. "Listen, make an entry in your database with my name and number for this game." Looking at him with a dead look, he said, "Tell you what, I'll do it for free." Then I said, "Good, then I'll be on my way. See ya." While leaving the store, I felt reassured my copy of Duke Nukem Forever will be awaiting for me. My friend taunted me as I left the store. "Ha ha ha, you're retarded." Then I declared, "Yes, retarded. Retarded like a fox." That was the... Oh, guys, screw it. It was waiting for me when it was done. When it's done. That was a great story, though. That was fantastic. I read that, and I was there. I have been there before in my mind, where it's just my sole purpose and my mission is to get my hands on a pre-order. You're not even walking out with anything. You're just walking out knowing that it's going to be there for you, you know?
But lately, you get, like, an empty box.
Yeah. But, you know, for a while I didn't. I'm sure he got nothing for Duke Nukem Forever, for Christ's sake. Jesus. How awesome was that? That was a hell of a great email. And I'd like to hear more stuff like that. This just, like, stories about gaming adventures and shit. Because, like, I don't know if it's just me, but, like, my imagination gets a little crazy sometimes, you know? And I'll turn some stupid trip into the mall into, like, some crazy quest and everything. And I'll have, like, a 30-minute story on my 10-minute adventure to the mall, you know? And shit like that is really cool to read.
Well, yeah, because otherwise the mall sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. But once in a while, there's hot chicks there.
Yeah, but lately they make you feel old and dirty.
You know?
The last time I was in the mall, I was like, oh, God, I'm like 20 years older than me. And I'm only 23!
Ew, that's a good point. All right, let's see. This is a hell of a great email, too, actually. This is something I didn't know anything about ever. I've never heard of this before. Like, I knew this kind of thing existed on, like, say, EverQuest, mm-hmm. but not with UO. These are emulated servers from Mitch. He said, Dear C4N Cobar! No, he didn't say that, but I've always wanted to say that. Let's see. All righty, good to hear from you. Thought I wasn't going to get a reply for a while. Yeah, he wrote me back, and I was like, dude, send me just the scoop on this, because there was no way I had time for this, you know? Right. Shit, it took me like 7 days to get back to him anyway for my little one-liner. Send me more. So he said, see, you got it right. Let's see, we all use emulated servers, mostly one called RunUO 1.0, which is free from RunUO.com. It's RUNUO.com, and this whole thing is in lowercase. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so sure if it's RunUO or RunUO. I really don't know.
Although, I would imagine it's
run probably run you. Oh, it's gotta be. But I'm totally guessing here because it's not. There's absolutely like no punctuation here at all, or at least capitalization. There's plenty of commas. Let's see. Although it takes a little setting up to make work, these can be modified with homemade scripts, making them better instantly with limitless possibilities. We use a program called UO Gateway, also free from the net. www.uogateway.com to connect to these homemade servers in place of the official EA games ones that you need to pay to play. The main program needed to play these free shards, that's I guess what they're called, obviously, is a copy of any of the Ultima Online games. Mine having been ripped off of... I'm not so sure I want to give out the site. I'm sure everybody in the world knows how to get their hands on pirated software. That site. It's like a particular build, I guess, of UO. It's called UO Samurai Empire. It's pretty good.
I think that's the newest expansion.
Oh, that's like some official whole thing? Okay. Yeah. Although EA Games doesn't want us to even have these servers, they haven't done much about it. There is thousands of people to play them. If you want to play someone else's pre-made shard, which I would recommend Vortex of Dis strongly, all you need is UO Gateway and any of the Ultima Online games. One common mistake I should warn you about, in case you are going to give this a go, you need the Ultima Online program on your computer, but do not use it. You should only ever access it through UO Gateway. Okay. If you use the Ultima program itself, it will automatically download the patches for the official shards, making it much harder to use the free ones. I would recommend, if you're interested, getting a copy of the following programs. Ultima Online Samurai Empire. Search for it on that evil bad website that does a lot of illegal things. UO Gateway, essential to connect to the free servers, which was uogateway.com. Razor, a UO assistant program, does too many things to list. Can be attained from runuo.com, RUNUO.com. If there's anything else you would like to know, email me back. This is just the setup. Good luck, Mitch.
So now, frankly, I think, I don't know what the real law is, but I personally think that as long as you actually have a retail copy of the game, it should be perfectly legal to play on just some random server.
I think it should be, too. I mean, Jesus Christ, if you paid for this game...
You already paid for the game.
There's nothing to say that company's going to maintain support for that forever, either.
And when you play the game online on their servers, what you're paying for is their services, their hardware, their customer support, yada, yada, yada. That's what you're paying for when you pay the monthly fee.
Exactly.
So if you're not using their server, you're not using their customer support, you're not using the service that they pay a monthly fee for, and they should have no legal recourse for it happening.
Right, right. I mean, you're not using any of their resources. So yeah. Why? You gave them their $50.
You paid for the game.
Exactly.
You paid for the software.
It should be entirely illegal for somebody to create their own emulated server and charge for it, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
for
I'm
sure.
And I'm sure that they could really, I'm positive they could do something about that.
That's copyright infringement and all that other good stuff.
But I mean, you know, the software itself, if they wrote it themselves and it emulates the server, right, I don't think that's a big deal at all. You know, the emulated server software should be just perfectly fine. I mean, obviously, apparently you can just get it anywhere you want online, too. So that's no big deal, but... God, the cool thing is EA's not doing anything about it. They're not like Sony where they're having you shut down the emulated servers, mm-hmm. you know, or like my friends over at Blizzard where they're taking people to court and stomping them into the ground and doing all kinds of shit.
Emulated servers for Blizzard for WoW already?
Not for, well, there was a sandbox mod for it. This has nothing to do with WoW. It was for StarCraft and Warcraft 3. There was, what the hell was it called? It had a cool name too, whatever it was. There was emulated servers for their real-time strategy games. And I actually played on one for a little bit. Not long, like maybe like a week. I just wanted to check it out, you know, mm-hmm. just to see how it was. And shit, you don't even pay for Battle.net. You know, I mean, that's free. But I still wanted to check out how it was like on different servers just to see if it was worthy. You know, maybe there was different people. Turns out everybody cheats like hell. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, you know, as much fun, and I only lasted just a little bit of time. The thing is people use these emulated servers to play pirated copies of beta. You know, well, and pirated copies of the damn game. There's no checks, for one. And for two, like, betas of, like, the expansion packs come out. And, you know, they get distributed online, they get around the net, and you can't play them on Battle.net.
Right, right.
So you play them on whatever the hell, like, I can't remember what it was called, on, you know, these emulated servers. Warforge. It was called Warforge, yeah. So, that's great. Everybody's going to be Googling the crap out of that now and playing all kinds of pirated Blizzard stuff. But you know what? Blizzard deserves it now. They got enough money. They need to focus on World of Warcraft and making it...
No kidding, do they have enough money. Holy
but
hell.
They have like 5 million people playing World of Warcraft
it's
now.
Something like that.
God
all
damn.
All like $15 a pop
Jesus
every month.
Is it 15 or like $12.95 or something?
No, it's 15.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jesus. They're rolling in the
I
dump.
Think so. How much is EQ2?
Like $12.95, I think. I haven't checked in a long time.
No, I think Final Fantasy was 13. I think we paid 15 for EverQuest
2. I don't know. I don't really remember. I really never checked. I just punched in the card number and went about my way, and that was good enough for me. Let's see, though.
Whatever it is, they're making an ass load of money.
They're raking it in. I'm sure that they will have no problem for years to come after this.
With the bank stores that they've made for this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's got to be absolutely ridiculous.
Like I've joked around before, the janitors are driving around in Lamborghinis.
That's sick. Hell yes. Let's see. But yeah, I think that's really awesome, though, playing on those things. And it actually makes me want to check out UO. It really, like, and
yeah,
I think I remember playing it before, though, and I didn't dig it, though.
Yeah.
So,
but it's still nice to be able to go check it out.
Right, exactly. Shit, they should have the client available from the website, like Guild Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be sweet. I could play it for free. And I probably wouldn't like it and not play very long, but it would not be worth me paying, you know, $30 or $50 for the game and then $10 for a month or two or three before I decide it sucks and I'm too lazy to cancel because I still pay for EverQuest, too. Haven't played in 4 months or so.
I was actually on the ball with that one. I had my Final Fantasy account forever.
Yeah, so did I. I had it until, like...
But we canceled
the same day. That's
yeah.
right.
But, I was actually pretty on the ball with my EverQuest account.
I need to be, because that's like $60 I just like pissed away right there that I could really use.
Mm-hmm.
So, our next email here is from Bryn, who actually sent this quite some time ago. What the hell's today? Today's the 11th. This was like just about a week ago. Oh, this was like the day we recorded, I remember.
We were
this.
Even talking about this dude in these movies.
Yeah, yeah. No. See, this is us with a little bit of follow-through here, right? This is us doing follow-up stories, right? This is us...
Oh, right.
Right, that's...
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping on top of the news. To C4 Cobar and anyone else... anyone else dumb enough to volunteer to host the show? And you don't even know how true that is. I have to drag these guys sometimes. Like Hunter, holy cow. Wolf was a pain in the ass to drag on the show. Let's see, just
he,
heard...
He was here, and he'd be like, oh, eh, whatever.
I know, I just play Final Fantasy the whole time. Jesus. Just heard that they are making a Dungeon Siege movie directed by Uwe Boll. He did Alone in the Dark and House of the Dead. Oh, and also his 8 latest movie releases have been computer game franchise films. Now, these aren't releases. These are what he's got coming.
Yeah, in the pipe.
Right, so let's see. He's got, Far Cry 2006 has been announced, Fear Effect... has been announced. Hunter the Reckoning has been announced. Those are all supposed to be out 2006. Dungeon Siege 2006 filming. Blood Rain is it's done. Like, they're just doing touch-up work on it. Mm-hmm. And some crap called Night Claws, which I did not know about. That's been announced. And I cannot quite sure what that's for.
Night Claws?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's see. His wiki entry might make some nice reading. That's en.wikipedia.org/wiki/UWE_BOLL. That's capital U, capital B. If you've never been to wiki before, good luck. If you know your way around, I'm sure your best bet is searching up his name and trying to remember what the hell I wrote. Oh, hey, see, we got a special guest on the show this week. I don't think so. Let's see. It says he makes his films. Oh, yeah, this is the interesting part, though. The wiki about Uwe Boll here. Okay, it says that he makes his films by using a loophole in German tax law. This is probably why he's got so many. He knows they're going to suck. And benefits more from films which flop because he can deem them a write-off at the end of the tax year. That kind of blows, though. It's like, I'm purposely making crappy-ass movies so Americans can pay, well, everybody across the world, I'm sure, can pay money so that I can get a tax write-off and come out ahead.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, though. I mean, oh, so he gets... If it flops, he still gets the proceeds, but then gets the movie paid for by the government.
I guess so. That's terrible, I think. But, I mean, you know, hey, I guess if it works for him, it works for him. I just wish he would pick on something else. But seriously, what else is going to flop for sure than a video game movie? You know, other than, like, a movie-based video game?
You know, although I don't know a bloody thing about it, I'm actually kind of looking forward to this Dungeon Siege movie just because I really like the whole high... Lots of fantasy, magic stuff. That's a, like,
Yeah, but it might turn out like Dungeons and Dragons. That's high fantasy stuff, and look what happened. We had, what's his name in it? The black guy?
What is he?
One of the Wayans brothers? Right. Yeah. That guy, I thought he destroyed them. I mean, the movie was pretty bad all around, but that guy just, he was the icing on the shit pie for me. He was the fly on the top of the turd. I hated it.
Like, it could be done right, and it would be fat.
It could be done. It could be done sweet, but of course.
As much as I and everybody else liked Lord of the Rings, there's not a whole lot of, like, real magic stuff going on.
You know, I didn't like that much.
Really?
I know. I think I own the first two, like, the Uber versions of them, and mm-hmm. I just lost interest, because to me, Lord of the Rings should have been like a fat 3-hour, maybe 3.5-hour movie. Not 9 hours of just mind-numbing. Just, I fell asleep every time I tried to watch those. Middle of the day, I'm fucking playing games, screwing around, having a good time. I turn that shit on, bam!
You know, you're the only one, because...
I don't think I am. I think there's a lot of people out there too afraid to say that they didn't like it that much, because everybody else says they liked it a whole lot, but I'm really starting to wonder about that, because... I don't know anybody that says, oh, I'm going to go watch Lord of the Rings again today. Nobody says that. Nobody does. Nobody wants to endure it again is what it is, you know? It was crazy.
But it was really good the first time, in my opinion.
I don't know, man. I never made it all the way through the second one. And really? I tried to watch it like 5 times. I own the damn thing. And I turn it on and I pass out.
Huh.
I know, and I cannot figure it out. I do not know what's wrong with me in that series. It's just like it's too dry. Like, they could have just compacted it, made it like a third of the size, and it would have been sweet.
Well, yeah, but you know how many people would have been up in arms? There are people who are pissed off at the stuff he did cut.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Fine, I lose this. All right. Let's see. Why, oh, why do they decide to make films based on computer games? Take it easy, guys. See you on IRC. Bryn. So, yeah, that's why they do it. Because they can make money off of it if you're in Germany, which kind of blows. Now, well, we have to do the theme song here, because what show would be complete without talking about terrorist, anti-free speech advocate Jackie Thompson? Thank you, Scyther, for the clip of the audio. That was awesome, because I can't get my shit together enough to get the clip myself.
And it's a lot less cheesy than us singing it.
Oh, come on. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, this email, this is actually one hell of an email here, because this is pretty good. Listen, this is almost like not games and more entertainment radio stuff here. This is, like, way too serious. Like, this had, like, a serious tone to it, and it, like, there was, like, big words in here and stuff, you know? And, I mean, Jesus. I had to, like, get the kid from next door to help me read it. It was crazy. This is from Mothface in England. Cool. Now, I'm an avid gamer and connoisseur of all types of degenerate filth. Prostitute stomping, shooting government employees from the shadows repeatedly in the crotch with a silenced pistol. That involves so naturally I've been following the Jack Thompson phenomenon pretty much since it began. My question, is Jack Thompson misunderstood? His central point seems pretty reasonable. That the games industry shouldn't and realistically cannot legislate its own rating system. Why not? Because commerce isn't motivated by morality, it's about sales, and if slapping an adult-only rating instead of mature on their game loses significant sales, they won't do it. So why should they? That's a very valid point, though. And well, that's exactly the motivation behind that, I think.
That's true, however, they try. M is already 17 and up.
Okay, but also, and there is a ratings board for this, that tells you if this is AO, they take shit out to make it mature. So it's not like they just decide, it's not like Rockstar says... Yeah, we'll stick an M on this. No, no, no. Rockstar still has to submit this for approval and for the rating.
Right.
Or approval of the rating.
And like I said, there's nothing in a Grand Theft Auto that is not in a gory NC-17 movie.
That is true.
NC-17, you don't see a whole lot of... You see a lot of R that's pretty darn bad.
I'm not so sure that there's anything in Grand Theft Auto that's not in, like, your average, like, PG-13 movie. Some of that shit's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, and so...
And, okay, what age do you have to be to go watch rated R stuff?
You have to be, like, 17.
Then what the hell is the... Is
NC-17, a parent cannot take them in.
Oh, that's what it is.
R, anybody can go, but okay. They have to have an adult with them.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so yeah, okay. All right, I wasn't actually all clear on the whole movie rating thing. I don't care anymore is why.
They are actually well rated. An AO game should have, like... crazy, lots of nudity and insane, intense gore and just nothing but. Like, now, there are a few games here and there that probably should have gotten an AO, like in maybe Manhunt. Because okay, the point of Manhunt right. is to kill people and violently
yeah,
and
exactly.
crazily.
The manner
and,
that you go about doing it, though. But you take a look at something like Unreal Tournament, there's no way that deserves anything that high. There's no way that deserves that. I mean, so you're shooting somebody, okay? It's sure. You know, it's
that,
not,
frankly, if it was a movie, would not be even be R. Yeah, there's not all that much blood. There's no cussing.
Yeah, exactly, huh?
There's not.
Like
there's no gore.
Left you in to see that shit.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a PG-13 movie at best. UTT4.
Yeah, right. What did they slap? That's rated teen, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Which is like PG-13, which
right,
is fine.
Exactly.
The rating system on video games is actually perfectly fine. They need to enforce it maybe a little more. And not let little kids go in and buy on their own and make games.
Exactly. That's where I think the only real problem
but
is.
But that's not what Jack Thompson wants to do. He wants to bump up. He wants to throw all these games that are like, if they were movie, they'd be PG-13 and R. He wants to throw them in the AO, which is NC-17.
Right, and get a whole other separate government entity to come down and say that.
Right.
That's, you know, and have this government-ran... organization telling us what we can and cannot view. That's fantastic when you've got people like, you know, you've got these religious people in office, though. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you know, look at Bush. Would you want him to tell you what you can and cannot play?
No.
Fuck no.
I don't want anybody telling me that.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, if you had to pick somebody, somewhere up at the top of the last 100 people I would want, Bush would be there. Clinton would be there. Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Lieberman. Thompson. Even Arnold. You know, these fucking people should have no right to say what goes. Okay.
And this is why, I'm sorry, we're not even halfway through the email, but no, Jack Thompson is not misunderstood.
Yeah, no, we're not, yeah. Okay, no, but listen to them. This email is extremely
well
has
some good
together.
Points.
Yeah, no, he does. This is one hell of an email. Okay, let me go on here. Jack Thompson is no angel either, but unfortunately, in today's climate reasoned and proportionate arguments are rarely taken notice of. His style is to appeal to the moral majority through tabloid-style shock tactics, which, although sleazy, are the only way anybody would listen to him. His point isn't so far removed from his propaganda. Games, although not directly responsible for these horrific crimes, are, and I believe this, contributing to a decline in the moral values of the young. Now, yeah, we have to take this like a paragraph at a time, because this is a lot to chew, like, each time. Like, okay, now... He does, and this is probably why he comes under fire from people like us, is because of the way he presents this. Okay, and if he's saying that people won't listen to him, I think they still would. If he didn't get all crazy and ridiculous about it and start throwing all this bullshit around to really drive up that whole, you know, shock value of his stories, he could still do pretty well making money off of stuff like this. And he would probably win more cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really would. I think he would anyway. I don't think that you're going to get, like, a popular vote on something like this, you know? I don't think he's helping himself by... Well, he's helping himself monetarily.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. He's going...
Exactly.
He's going for the money. He's not going for this goal. And his goal is wrong. I'm sorry. If you want to affect this demoralization of our young or whatever the fuck he wants... I'm sorry. It's total bullshit, but...
Okay, now Monface here believes that too, that it is declining the moral values of the young. My thing is, who's to say, first of all? Okay, I think that... Okay, I played video games my entire life, okay? Now, granted, I wasn't playing something like Manhunt in Grand Theft Auto, but believe me, in my head, it was the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the things I was doing were just as bad. Okay, it's not like just because it's, you know, I've got a few more polygons make it any better, you know, or any worse for me. Right?
No, because back then, that's all we had.
Right, well, yeah,
and so it looked good.
Right.
You put in some 8-bit Nintendo game, you're all, man, the graphics in this are sweet!
Exactly. And you know, okay, look at something like, I like to use this, okay, Mortal Kombat and Doom. Now, they were big when I was I don't even know how old I was, but I was in my teens.
Mm-hmm.
So, and literally, I played Doom probably more than anything I've ever played, just because that was all we had that was that good for that many years. And I'm not out shooting people. I'm not out there, you know, raping and pillaging and stuff and shooting people on the freeway. And
that's a big point, that the kids that flip out like this...
There's something wrong with them to begin with.
They would have flipped out somewhere else.
Right. I do not see this affecting it at all. And if this is seriously affecting it that much, they need to go after movies first.
Well, their argument is video games are interactive.
Right,
and
right.
So, and it is true that you monitor the brain waves of someone watching a movie and someone playing a video game, and the brain thinks that it is doing whatever it's doing a lot more when they're playing a game than when they're watching a movie.
It's because movies suck and games kick ass. All right, let's see. How could they not be? Remember being a kid and wanting to have superpowers like Spider-Man or Jedi mind-tricking your way to third base. Today's heroes aren't as one-dimensional. Consider the anti-heroes of the GTA series and the countless FPS shooters that dispense with any of the real ramifications of taking human life. Okay, well, I don't have a problem with that, because you know what? It's called stress relief.
Yeah, that's... I don't know how many times video games have saved me from doing something dumb and hurting somebody.
Postal may have not been such a fantastic game, but I'll tell you what, it allowed me to do some of the things that I wanted to do in real life, you know, in the video game. Okay, and I'm still not out killing people. Now, granted, it could be argued either way. There may or may not be something wrong with me because I think that way. But haven't you ever been really angry and wanted to do something? You know, and you're smarter than that. You know better than that. You know that, oh, I can't just go out and bomb my work. I can't go out and shoot whoever. You know, I can't. You can't do that kind of thing.
So games afford you to vent that frustration.
Right. A lot of people take their aggressions out by drinking. I know a lot of people that are fired up, worked up, they just get ridiculous. They go home and they drink themselves into a freaking stupor every single night. Okay? I don't see that being a whole lot different, really. And I think that's far more dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
For you and the people around you.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I just see video games as such like a non-threat issue.
It's a punching bag for those of us who are not physically inclined.
You're right. Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Because we're... You know, I really think that we are laying down and taking this, though. Because what are we doing? We're not doing anything. We're crying about it.
To stop Jackie Dale?
Yeah.
What the heck could we do?
I don't know, but we could probably do something. And I think
voicing our opinion is all we really have.
Right, but the problem is like Mothface here put in the email, was tabloid-style shock tactics. Maybe we need a little something like that. Maybe we need something that, you know, something to fire back for every story that he has. Like, we need to go rally with what's the guy's name? Julian, that runs ThompsonWatch.com. Okay? We need to rally with him. We need to get gamers from all over. Have him set up a forum or some shit. Somebody's got to take a stand here and do something, I think. I mean, and raise some public, awareness. Something. Something's got to be done, because this is retarded.
The problem is that this is hardly the only place in American life where our liberties are slowly being chipped away. No one sees or cares.
That's true.
And what are you going to do?
That's true, because you have people like say, my parents, who grew up with, you know, their son playing video games all day, and they, in their mind, they're like, oh, video games are bad. All they do is sit around in front of the tube all day. Oh, look at this guy on TV. He doesn't like video games. I'm with this dude. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like a misguided opinion on something, you know, and unfortunately, it's an uneducated opinion, really.
But he has the ammo and we don't. He says, oh my god, kids are shooting people.
Yeah, but you know
look,
what?
They're playing this game where they were shooting kids and shooting people in the video game.
Yeah, and they blame stuff like Columbine on fucking Doom. The whole fucking thing, that was the fault of Doom.
Marilyn Manson.
Right, yeah. You know, I mean, for real, come on. Okay, I'm getting pissed, alright. The gaming community's response to Jack Thompson seems to be sidestepping the main issue and addressing the crazy tabloid gibberish often in a patronizing and mocking tone. Jack Thompson is dismissive, but who wouldn't be with a mailbox containing the collective wrath of the gaming community, one not widely known for its eloquence and poise? And, you know, that's a good point. It's because we're going about it in this way. I mean, even us, we're sitting here whining about it, you know, instead, and we're mocking him. Exactly. You know, we're talking shit.
Yeah, but we are pissed about the issue and not how he's doing it.
Right.
We are pissed at the fact that he's trying to take away our free speech and our right to put in our brains what we want.
He's a liar. Alright, in summary, if we are to get anywhere with Jack Thompson, we need to embrace the idea of an independent rating system. I actually think this entire debate is a very good and encouraging sign for gaming in general. It demonstrates it's becoming a mainstream form of entertainment that is able to deal with mature issues in a way that people respond to. Anyway, I love the show. Keep up the good work, Mothface, in England.
First off, I want to say I'm sorry we ripped the hell out of your email.
Yeah, I know, I do too. Because
it is good.
That is. That was actually the first time I've actually read the entire thing. I just kind of glanced over it for like just a little bit while we were out messing around and getting ready for the show. And I'm actually surprised I didn't stumble over and stutter more.
Yeah, it was a good email. It had a lot of good points. I personally don't really agree. I think Jack Thompson is quite understood well by us and the people who dislike him.
Me too.
But You have some good points.
No, and this last paragraph, though, you know, really, I don't give a shit who breaks the game. Like, the more I think about it, I don't really care. My problem isn't with that anymore, because it doesn't matter what they rate it, I can buy it and play it, and I don't care. And if I want my kids, you know, to play those games, guess what? They're going to play those games. I'm going to buy them for them. I'll be playing with them. I need somebody to play games with, too, you know?
But it seems to me that Jack Thompson wants to destroy those kinds of games.
You know, well, yeah.
He wants to make it...
See, the problem, my issue is that's going to take away from our games, though.
Yeah.
They're going to be gone. Like, because, say the government steps in tomorrow, you know, slaps this AO rating on damn near everything we have, those game companies are going to modify their games. They're going to take out, you're going to be playing Doom, you're going to be playing Quake 4 with no guns. You're going to have, like, pillows. You know, how much fun is that going to be?
On the flip side of that, though, if there were a lot more AO games, they might not have the stigma on them that they do now.
That's true. That's incredibly true.
They might just get bought more often.
That's very... Even... Hell. Okay, I don't think I've... Have I ever owned an AO game?
No, you never see one.
Exactly.
There's been like three.
Right.
Literally in the entire history of the rating.
BMX XXX? Guy Game?
I don't think Guy Game was even AO.
It wasn't?
No, I don't think so.
It had to be. I don't really remember. And then what was that other one? Didn't the Uncut Leisure Suit Larry?
Yeah, right? The one that didn't have all the sensor bars.
Okay, so maybe there's 10 total. Maybe.
I don't know. I think there's not 10.
There's
4.
There's probably... I'll say there's probably 6 or 7. There's got to be more. There has to be more. But like, for real... I don't even...
And they've all been crap games anyway.
Yes, exactly.
So and the development houses see, oh, that AO game sold badly. We better not stick an AO.
Right.
But no, it was BMX XXX, huh? The game sucked.
Right.
That's why no one bought it.
Exactly. You know, the game was terrible itself. And you know, when I hear that, when somebody says that this is AO, I actually stop for a minute and go, whoa, I have to check this out real quick. Like, I don't play it. Like, I don't think I've ever even played one, really. You know?
Well, I played Leisure Suit Larry, and I like went and did the hack.
To get rid of the bars on the old censored version, right?
So that it became the uncensored version, the one that they made AO.
Right. Well, I still haven't. And
it was disturbingly good. It wasn't good, but I had a lot of fun playing it.
That's good, though.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't know. At least it catches my attention, though. I go, whoa, holy shit, this is AO.
Right, right.
And I look at it for a second, oh, this game blows ass, but wow, it's AO, you know. So, oh, no, this is... Wait. Okay, now this is the fat part here, because this ties directly into the last email that we just read. This is from Soul, who we've actually been seeing on IRC quite a bit. Awesome. All right, this is short and sweet and partially evil. Okay, check this out. This is from Soul. Yes, you will still have to get your pens and paper out. Now, thank God somebody could hear something on episode 98, because remember we made that thing about pen and paper? Yeah. Okay, so listen up. Get out your pens and paper or fire up your keyboard and open up a little text document and write this down, because this is serious. This is where we need to start, right here. This ties in perfectly. This is where we need to start, right here. No belligerent comments and shit, please. Okay, seriously, keep this together. In fact, why don't we get people like the dude who wrote that email that long time ago? He needs to write him again. Remember, we got the email through... Oh, Christ. Anyway, and Mothface here needs to write some slick shit over to our buddy Jackie Thompson here. Okay.
Oh, okay. I remember what you're talking about now.
Okay. Yes, you will still have to get your pens and paper out, but for a better cause this time, okay? You can write to Jack Thompson. Now, I urge you, please, for the love of Christ, one, do not mention us or the website. Two, do not call him terrorist Jackie Thompson, okay?
And please. Don't do anything violent.
Don't, yeah, or stupid. Yeah, no, this is because then it becomes a federal offense.
And we don't want you to do something dumb, and we don't want us to be a part of it.
Exactly. Seriously.
So don't do dumb stuff.
Exactly. Right. Keep this very rated E for everyone, okay? Honest to God, I beg of you. Okay, Jack Thompson, 1172 South Dixie Highway, Suite 111, Coral Gables, C-O-R-A-L, space G-A-B-L-E-S, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Florida, 33146. Boy, that's too bad that motherfucker wasn't based in New Orleans. That would have been fantastic. Oh, crap, I just remember, too. Today's September 11th. Yep. Oh, man, we're going to hell.
Now, I wonder if that's his office or
that's
his actual home.
Suite 111, that's got to be his office.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so let's see. I have a feeling some of you might enjoy sending a few letters with links to thompsonwatch.com and such. Thanks, Soul. That is awesome.
It's a send your snail mail.
Yeah.
He gets a bunch of email, he just deletes it all.
Yeah, yeah. At least this would require a little effort on his part.
And make it seem
official.
Like official and nice. And
send some certified shit. That costs like a dollar.
And like start out with some like business jargon at the top.
Mr. Thompson!
And then all of a sudden degenerate into, you friggin'...
Let him have it. Yeah, totally. All right, let's see. Wow, we spent the whole time on email here. I got lost in the news. More bad news for video games, or gamers at least. Californians, my friends, I too am a former Californian. And I feel your pain, okay? But I don't pay state tax.
I don't think anybody in Nevada wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. Probably not. No. Okay, California Bill AB 1179 has passed. This is essentially don't sell games to minors. You know, violent games. And whatever not. Okay, hold on. Remember Illinois passed this law a while ago?
Right.
But it passed the bill into law, and it hasn't taken effect yet. It actually starts January 1st, 2006. It was called the Safe Games Illinois Act. And it bans the sale and rental of violent and sexually explicit video games to children. And California's got 30 days from whenever the hell this happened. I think it was the 2nd or the 3rd, September 2nd or 3rd, I can't remember. Arnold, the governator, has 30 days to decide what to do on this. Either he signs it or he just vetoes it out and says, go fuck yourselves. And just like the one that passed in Illinois, if this does pass, it goes into effect January 1st. Unless it would be the same day.
See, now, although I don't think this is such a big friggin' deal, it's a bunch of polygons, people.
Right.
I really, really don't think this is fucking up our kids. However, this law does not really bother me.
It doesn't affect me.
It appears to me to be a nice compromise between what Jack Thompson wants and protecting the kids. It's a compromise. It's saying, all right, M-Move games, which are 17 plus, they're designed to not be played by kids. We're going to go ahead and not sell them to kids.
And we'll fine you if you do.
And if the parents think it's okay, they can buy them for them.
Flawless.
It's an okay compromise, in my opinion.
Flawless. What is wrong with that? Nothing.
It helps.
Nothing is wrong with that.
It helps the parents who don't want the kids to play them exactly. And not be able to
and
get
I
them.
And I can respect that, because there's games that I would not want my children to play, too. That's for goddamn sure. You know? Yeah. There's no, I don't have kids. I just keep saying I do. But I'm, you know, seriously.
Yeah, I would not want my 8-year-old playing Manhunt.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. But I would not have a problem with him playing, or her, say Doom 3. That would not bother me at all.
Yeah.
You know, but Manhunt I might have an issue with. You know, maybe because it's other humans. Maybe it's because of the violence in it.
Yeah, know? There's it's a really, it's, really it's, gratuitous.
Right,
it's
right. It is. Yeah, it's a little over the
serial top. Killer but type.
Who makes that call? I do.
The parent does. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Not Arnold, not Jackie Thompson, not George Bush. I make that call. I am the parent here, okay?
And when the parent decides it's okay for the kid to play something like Manhunt, like I would say, obviously, depending on the kid and how kind of wishy-washy he is in reality.
Right, right.
But 16 seems like a perfectly acceptable age to be playing something like Manhunt.
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately, particularly this day and age where it seems like they're completely matured at like, you know, 8 years old now anyway. You may as well just give them a license, some cigarettes, let them move out of the house, and a bottle of alcohol. There you go. Have fun. Cum dumpster. That's so terrible. I think about that all week for some reason.
I swear to God, I saw that shirt somewhere.
Yeah, no shit. I saw some shit the other day that said, like, I am sleazy or something on some fucking hella young girl. I was like, fucking, this is horrible. Walking around with her dad at, like, local Best Buy. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, I was at the mall and some, like, 12-year-old girls walking around with something similar to cum dumpster.
You
know, I was like, holy shit. She was basically her shirt said, I swallow.
Oh my God, this is horrible. I swear to God. You know, see, this is, okay, I don't like phones very much, right? I don't like them. Like, the technology is rad, but I think they are the most rude inventions on the planet, and I do not like being bothered or reached when I don't want to be. So I do not have a cell phone, right?
Okay.
I use them, if I did, it would be out of necessity. Like, if I was driving somewhere, I would probably need one, but I don't drive very far often enough to need one, okay?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, once every other week, I go to Sacramento. That's 2 hours. That's not bad. There's payphones along the way. You know,
it's true. You're in California. They have those help things.
Right? And when all on the freeway. And it's just like when I was on my trip, though, I needed it. So I had one and got rid of it when I came back. I don't believe in these things. But now, if I had one that had a camera attached to it, we should start a collection of photographs of these chicks. You know, just like walking to the mall, and you could do it slyly with a little phone camera, though. You wouldn't really get away with it with a whole camera. Hold still.
We get thrown in jail for
Probably. That would be some fun shit, though. But anyway, wow. I think you're onto something, though. There's nothing wrong with that, because this law, or this bill, when it passes, and I'm going to say when it passes, it will only affect, you know, essentially the retailers. If you catch somebody selling a game to a minor, okay, that they shouldn't be buying, oh, you get fined. Just like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like with cigarettes. I don't have a problem with that. You shouldn't have bought that game. You're a minor.
Yeah,
your parents can tell you you can never set foot outside again. And for 2 more years, when you're, you know, or 1 year when you're 17, you cannot set foot outside the house ever again. Not until you move out. There's nothing wrong with that either. They can do that. Right? So, why should this be any different? They make that call. The parent should. I'm behind. Arnold, start licking your pen and grease that up, baby. Come on. This isn't so bad, I guess. And this is actually something I was probably going to try to fight a little bit, but I think you're right, though. See, you dropped the points down. Bam! I said, holy shit, you're right. This isn't bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt anybody. It keeps kids from buying these games. I'm for that. If a kid came to my place where I work and tried to buy a game that was clearly underage, I ask him. I do. Mm-hmm. I'll joke with him and talk to him and be nice to the guy and everything, you know, but I won't sell him that game. I'm not going to get fined or anything, but no, fuck you. No way. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Not because I'm afraid of getting in trouble. Nothing like that. I don't think you should have that game. I'm not your parent. I don't make the call. However, your parents do make the call, and they didn't call me and say that you could buy this. They're not with you and say that you could buy this. So, man, we're full of bad news. Okay. News Corp buys IGN. By the end of the year, IGN is going to be rolled into, you gotta love this, Fox Interactive Media. It's a division of News Corp.
IGN is going to be owned by Fox News.
How fat is that?
Oh my God.
I couldn't even get through that without laughing.
The worst right-wing bullshit news in the whole damn country.
It's a joke. And as if IGN wasn't a big enough joke as this.
Yeah, but now the devil is like some strange...
This is the media Borg here.
Yeah.
This is horrible. What part does Future Network USA play in all this? I was under the impression that for some reason they owned some of IGN or all of IGN.
I don't know.
I don't know if they, because don't they? I could have sworn they did. I might just be tripping. I might have just screwed that up. But I was sure. I'd have to look into it again. I'm sure they own some of these big places.
So now Fox,
maybe they own 1UP and stuff. And Gamers.com.
Oh, they might.
Maybe that's what it is.
1UP seems not very corporate, though. I mean, they have a lot of the ads and whatnot, but when you get down to the meat and potatoes of the site.
No, when you get down to Firefox and ad blocking the fuck out of them, it doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't see all that shit.
No, but like when you're doing reading their reviews, you have a bunch of people that are all, oh, this game is so nice and wonderful. Yeah. But 1UP's like, no, this game fucking sucks.
They got a brown ring around their neck over IGN.
Yeah, but 1UP doesn't do that.
Really? I actually don't run around and read a whole lot of reviews. I look at like lots of screenshots and videos and trailers and other stuff.
I like to snip around the reviews.
Sometimes
it's
all I can get news out of, though.
Other like, people.
Let's go straight into the fucking game. Well, no, we can't. But there's like certain games you cannot get information about.
Right.
Like you go to the straight up, go to the company's website, and they're like, hey, we got this new game coming out. It's supposed to be fat. Here's a picture.
Yeah.
Get excited.
Official sites are always crap.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
Not all the time. No. Go to the Japanese official sites for RPGs. You are hooked
well,
up.
Yeah, but you can't read any of it.
That is not my point. Some of the stuff you can read, and there's a lot of shit there. I can't read a lick of it.
No, but I wanted to mention.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to mention that that they didn't just buy IGN; they also now own Rotten Tomatoes,
right? Yeah,
and
yeah.
GameSpy and File
yeah,
Planet.
Jesus
and,
Christ, that's right.
Because IGN owned all that stuff.
I'm gonna cry.
Rotten Tomatoes. If I didn't mention it.
Yeah, you did. The
okay.
Movie review site,
yeah,
right? Yeah, I think somebody wrote us an email about that a while ago. I can't remember now. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Moving right along into games, there's actually quite a bit of good releases within the next like 8 days coming out here. This is pretty cool.
This Tuesday in particular, the 13th, is a pretty big day.
This is some fat shit. Okay, what the hell's today? Sunday the 11th. So Monday the 12th, EverQuest 2 fans rejoice. Desert of Flames expansion pack comes out, $30.
And you finally get to PvP.
Yay. Yeah, I don't know if I'm digging on that very much. The only reason I would even consider that is just to play the other 10 levels. You know, like you get to go from like 50 to 60, or they might have even said 65 might be the new cap. Like stop the dead in the middle of a tier for some reason. Stop square in the middle of it for some reason.
You know, I don't actually recall seeing anything about what they were going to raise the level.
I did. I remember reading 10, but then I was told that they were going to do 15. So
that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well,
it with
makes
how it works.
No fucking sense in their system, which I dig their system, by the way, but it doesn't make any sense for why they would do that. But whatever. Fuck them. I'm not playing that crap. Anyway. Now, something else. It's pretty decent. For the PC, Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War, the Game of the Year edition comes out. $30 comes out on Tuesday the 13th, September 13th. That's pretty cool because fans of that game I know are like super fans. They're like way into that shit. And I enjoyed playing it too, but I wasn't like some crazy mega Warhammer fan, you know, like mimicking the wars with like my little figurines at my house and shit while
that's
I was playing.
Sitting there for like 6 days out of the week,
yeah,
painting your little things.
Yeah. I mean, that's cool and all. That's a lot of fun. I've done that before, but I don't do it with now and with this particular game. I did it with D&D. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas comes out for the Xbox on the 12th. That's $50. Gonna be rated mature. For real this time.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably not gonna have the hot coffee mod in it.
Yeah, probably not. Half-Life 2 Game of the Year Edition, $50, comes out the 13th, that's for the PC. Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, $50, comes out on the 19th for the Xbox and the 20th for the PS2. I don't know why, but that's what I got, that's what I found. And the fat stuff now, baby, check this out. Burnout Legends for the PlayStation Portable hits the shelves on September 13th, $49.99.
Revenge comes out soon. Or did you
that was
it?
Next, thank you. Burnout Revenge comes out Tuesday, September 13th, $49.99 for the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox.
Oops.
And $60 for the Xbox 360 version, which supposedly comes out March 1st, 2006. Now, I don't quite understand that, because I'm going to want to play the crap out of this game between now and March 1st, 2006.
Mm.
I do not see me holding out for the Xbox 360 version, but it
just
really
for slightly
makes,
better graphics.
Yeah, right? And probably going to play a lot smoother, but it really doesn't want... It doesn't... encourage me to spend $50 right this minute.
Right.
It's weird. It's like I want the fatter version for $10 more, but the waiting is what's going to kill me because I loved Burnout 3 Takedown.
Well, plus, you have to own it with an Xbox 360.
Well, there's that whole minor detail too, but I'll figure so. I'll sell a kidney or something. Now, we actually did
put... I actually want to mention, even though you didn't put it on there, that the new Sims 2 expansion pack also comes out on Tuesday. Some people like it, okay?
I know, I just had to give you
that. We're a service to the people, we better put it...
We're a service. Yeah, all right. Now, Age of Empires 3. This was poised to be a huge, a heavy hitter. Mega AAA title from Ensemble Studios, our friends, Microsoft Games, all that big stuff. AOE 1 and 2 went over huge. I know Age of Empires 2 and Age of Kings was giant. I mean, like, freaking enormous. Incredibly popular. I loved the hell out of that game myself. Age of Mythology and Rise of the Titans, or whatever the expansion was called, something with Titans, I think.
Right.
It didn't do that well, but a lot of people did like it.
Kind of tanked.
I don't know. I keep running into people that say they liked it a lot.
Really?
I didn't. I could not tolerate that game at all.
That's what I hear over and over again.
I did not like that game at all. Sucked my ass. Now, this one takes place after Age of Empires 2. The Age of Kings leaves off this Age of Empires 3 here. The demo is available. And, of course, my stupid ass did not get a release date for the game when the actual retail goes out. Maybe we can convince Mighty Kobor here to look it up real quick because I totally spaced that out. It's a real-time strategy game, in case nobody knows, and I can't imagine anybody not knowing what the hell Age of Empires is. But, you know, it seems like your typical real-time strategy at first. You know, you've got your little armies, you've got your little peon dudes to go harvest.
Ships October 18th.
God damn, that's a long time away. October 18th. So, I've got, let's see.
It's like a month.
That's ages when you're waiting for a game, dude. That's 5 weeks, okay? Today's the 11th, September 11th. Oh, my God. And anyway, okay, you know, you've got your little peons, you got to send them out to go get you crap like, you know, you got wood and ore, I think. And, no, wait, food and wood and gold. That's right. What you get. So you find like, little mining places for your gold, you find like cattle and shit, you know, and whatnot for food. And your little dudes walk out there and shoot them with muskets and stuff and go chop them up, whatever it is. It's really cool. Extremely well animated. And it's cool because you can zoom way the hell in now. You know, so it's not like all...
That's always nice, although rarely do you actually play the game that zoomed
in. No, I use it when I'm in combat, though. I just like watching all my shit go crazy and watching the cool animations and people running around fighting and stuff. They did a really good job of that in Warhammer 40K Dawn of War, too. Mm-hmm. I like to watch the fight, because the fights in that were just exquisite. And the fights in this are really cool, too. Plus, all the stuff is really well detailed when you zoom in. I mean, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty damn good. All the little cutscenes and whatnot, it's got like a whole campaign, this long-ass story, and it's all like... you know, based on, like, history stuff. There's not, like, real stuff. It's just, like, all not interesting to me because it's too real. It's not, like, orcs and trolls and goblins and magic and stuff.
Based in reality, you know, but not quite.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know. All I know is you can build trains, so I'm going to be playing the Chinese for a while, just for the fuck of it, just to screw with Wolf. I messed with him so bad playing Civ. Oh, he loved it. Now, you have a basic real-time strategy game, you know, on the surface with this, okay? Right. You got your peons getting your stuff. They bring it to your town hall. You take a peon. You have them build, you know, a barracks, and you can build some warriors. And eventually, you've got this massive, you know, skill tree system here, where all of a sudden a tech tree, where you can, you know, get all kinds of different upgrades to things. You've got all the way up to, like, guns and shit. You've got boats. You've got upgrades to all that stuff. You've got different buildings specifically for archers and footmen type and cavalry things and your boats and all this crazy stuff. And then you've got, like, unlimited resource creator thingies that you can build for, like, you know, ore and for food. Like, a farm would be for food, right? So you build a farm, and then you have to do things like seed the farm. You know, and then your people could just unlimited harvest from that. Now, I actually did not remember having to seed the farms in this. They did in AOE 2, you had to like click seed farm and it would do it. In this one, I didn't remember having to do that, but you still had upgrades to the farm,
right?
Which would be like they harvest faster, you know, that kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which is nice because reseeding your farm sucked ass. That was one of those like busy work things that you had to kind of remember all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, you get to the point where you've got like quite a few of these sometimes, you know, on huge epic maps, and you just can't remember sometimes, and it blows. They have a really, really cool thing, which I like that they added. They have an experience point system. So you're out there running around killing dudes and trying to take over parts of the map, and as you're killing enemy units, and even like taking over. There's like shit you can find out there. Like I roll up on like a covered wagon, right? And there's like predators around it, like jaguars and shit. And you kill the treasure guardians or whatever, you know? And then you can like loot whatever was in the thing, whether it's gold or something. It's usually, you know, it's some kind of resources. But they also have like little like things that you can like take over and partner with. Like there's like Indians out there. And if you set up a trading post with them, you can all of a sudden recruit like Indian units now. Right? From that little trading post, you can get like dudes with like arrows and stuff running around on horses, and they have upgrades for them too. So it's kind of neat because
there's a nice Warcraft 3 flair to it.
Right, right. I mean, it's just more, and that's, you know, I love these kind of games. Sometimes I get incredibly hooked on these games. They had like a hero thing in there. They did have like a guy that was like your main dude, and I could not figure out what special things that they could do. Like I just did not have it in me. I played all the way through the demo in like just a couple of hours, and I loved every minute of it. It was actually really good, and I was really worried for this game. I remember seeing shots of it and like video of it at E3, mm-hmm. and the interface looked terrible. And if I have any complaints about this game, it's the interface is decent. Okay, it's not as streamlined and as slick as it should be. It's too intrusive.
Bad for this kind of game.
It is. It makes it hard to see what I want to do.
Because that's what you're doing the whole time is interacting with the interface.
Yeah, it's just, I think that they could have shrunk it down a lot. And I hope to see like a mod for this or something because I don't like the interface. It's just too much of the screen. It's like a third of the screen.
No.
Yeah, it's bad. And it's not the slickest organized either, right? And the other complaint I really have with it is that like you click a unit and usually they have like a hit point bar over their heads. Mm. Well, they have it, but it's like one pixel. I mean, you're playing at a reasonable resolution.
Yay.
I can't tell what their hit points are by looking on screen, and it's way quicker for me to glance at the screen in the middle of combat to see which units need to be pulled out, not individually click them on this terrible interface and pull them out of combat because it has a number for their hit points, not this invisible bar. Mm. So I didn't like that at all. But the game itself was actually incredibly fun. The voice acting wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't that bad at all, but it had, like, when they were telling the story, they'd have the people talking and going back and forth, and it seemed well done enough. I wasn't complaining. I mean, it was kind of hokey with their accents they were trying to do and whatnot,
right.
But they did a decent job. It didn't make my ears bleed like our episode 98 did, right? And the music was fat. The music was really, really awesome. I kept sitting. Okay, I play almost every game with the music off.
Mm.
All right, I could not stop like humming along to this music, and it sucked me right into the battle. Like it was just bam there for the time. You know, like the setting and all that was perfect for the music that they had, and so I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to fire up some music. And then I would find myself, like, 30 minutes later, still listening to the game music happily. You know, it was really good music.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. They've got a new, like, a home city. So whether you're, say, the Japanese or whatever, whoever the hell you are in this, they have, like, a home city thing. And this ties into, I was bringing up the experience points and got distracted. When you're killing units and gathering all that shit, you get experience points. Now, I didn't know what this was for the longest damn time. It allows you to, like, constantly upgrade your home city, which isn't a real entity in the game. It's not actually something that you visit and go to and whatnot.
Right.
It's like, let's say you're the Japanese, and let's say, I actually don't know who backs you because you can't play the Japanese in the demo, and I actually don't even know who all the races are in this game. I tried to find a list and I couldn't even find it, but I imagine it's a lot like the AoE2 list. But let's say you're the Japanese. Let's say you're, you know, Tokyo is backing you or whatever. So let's say you're trying to take over wherever the hell you are. You get shipments from your home city. Right? Which would be, let's just say in our example, Tokyo sends you shit.
Right.
There's a little timer on the screen, which you just see kind of like spin around in a circle, and once it goes back around, you know, whatever, you get to place an order for something, then you have to wait for it to be delivered. You only get to place so many orders based on the time. Like, it'll go around and say you've got one thing you can pick. So you click on this thing, and then bam, it opens up this menu of, they call them cards, which are essentially choices, okay, that you can pick. So I've got one choice, and you can pick things like, send me 300 food, send me 300 gold, send me, you know, X amount of whatever, send me, 4 new settlers, send me a group of cavalry guys,
mm-hmm.
send me, you know, upgraded, you know, weapon systems for this. And you get to pick these pretty cool things. So at first I was like, oh wow, that's kind of neat. You can pick these crazy things, and they upgrade as you go through the ages. There's 5 ages in this game too. So as you're upgrading, you keep getting bigger and further out in the tech tree, so big to where you cannot, now this is key, you cannot specialize. Or you cannot go the other way around. You cannot get everything. You have to specialize your playstyle, which
right.
I think is really, really cool in these kind of games. Because there's so many friggin' options that you have to decide at some point, okay, I like using my cavalry and, you know, maybe marksman or something or whatever. I like using foot soldiers and having a really, really strong economy. Mm-hmm. So you would put, you know, most of your stuff into like your foot soldiers, weapons upgrades, speed upgrades, everything you can for that. And then like your economy things, you know, you get like your marketplace is what it is, you know, where you would get like free shipments of food and shit and you,
right.
And it doubles. You get like 600 instead of 300 and you pick down these tech trees and there's tons of them though. There was like a, there was a, the one for the marketplace, there was military, cathedral, you get priests and whatnot that can heal your ass and stuff. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing plant to make all your crap, ships you could upgrade your ship things to, and I mean like you could upgrade the specializations for the ship things, so you really get to hone your playstyle, and it's going to make for some really kick-ass strategy when you're playing, because I haven't seen something like people try to do that in these other games. Mm-hmm. Like look at Warcraft 3, people say, oh, I'm using this strat, I'm going all foot soldier orcs, you know, or whatever, I'm going the peon tower rush, and they try to do these little customizations, but essentially all the units are still the same. You know, right, just right. Depending on your few, your handful of upgrades. Warcraft 3 does not have shit for upgrades, you know? But you look at something like this, where you get super specialized in something, your archers are going to be able to blow people out of the water if that's what you put all your effort into. It's really dope. I mean, and when I saw it, I was giggling like a little girl. I could not. I was so excited to see such an advanced and in-depth tech tree.
Well, it's also kind of interesting that every so often you get little bonuses. Like the town sends you like
a bonus
of food or
exactly.
a bonus
because you don't know what your enemy's getting. You know, your competitors are getting cool stuff. Your competitors are getting cool stuff too.
No, you know? But I wonder how the that's going to work in multiplayer because you can't play map after map after map to get that.
Well,
I guess you could.
Well, they might set it up like some of these other games,
you could
like
a
war.
Profile.
You could have. Well, you could do that too. Or they might set it like a war. Like we're going to play three games, and you set it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play these three maps, and then it just goes. It carries through. I'm sure they'll figure that out. They're not going to stick you. Or it happens as you play. Okay, because here's what happened. When I played the first map, okay, you start at like level one or whatever. When I was done, I was like level 8 city or whatever.
Right.
Right. So maybe as you're playing, when you hit that certain amount of experience points, bam, it rolls over. It says you can pick a new card. Maybe that would be the way it would go in multiplayer.
Okay.
Okay. Because all of a sudden it gave me my level at the end real quick like that. And then I had to pick like 8 levels worth of shit.
They could also do it like they did it in NetStorm, where every time you got ranks as well as levels and then ranks, like you had to pick, okay, I'm going to get this unit now, and I'm going to get this unit now, and depending on how many times you won.
Oh, okay.
And then once you got everything, you rolled back to zero, but you are now rank one, and all your stuff was like 10%
or
10% stronger. And so you played with people who were your rank.
That's pretty cool, but I don't know if they're going to set up like a central server kind of thing for this. It might just be, you know, some rigged up play with your buddy, type in his IP address kind of garbage. Maybe, that's interesting, though. I really don't know. We'll have to just wait and find out. There's going to be a collector's edition of this, too. It comes with all kinds of garbage. A DVD with behind-the-scenes commentary, you know, making of AOE 3, all kinds of garbage. A 210-page book. Jesus Christ. There's a poster with it. I would like to think there'd be a soundtrack disc, though. I don't think there was that. A collector's edition manual. Yeah, great. I'm sure that's going to get used a lot. But that does, that really does it for Age of Empires 3. I think the demo's so worth checking out. Did you have anything on that Rose game?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Forgot all about that.
I did too, until something reminded me.
Okay, as some people might have gone to File Planet and noticed that there's some new MMO out there called Rose Online, or maybe you ran across it somewhere. But anyway, I was able to get into the closed beta.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, File Planet.
Oh, right.
Nothing super special. But, it's weird. It's got a very 13-year-old kid saving the world anime style feel to it. The world art style is kind of cool. I really kind of dig it. But all the characters look damn near the same, and the big head, big eyes, 12-year-old.
Arg.
Yeah, I couldn't get into being me in the game. It just didn't feel right, so I didn't play very long. You start out as just a generic, they call it a visitor class, because you're not really from that dimension or whatever. You were, like, pulled there, and so that's how you can die and come back and whatnot.
Oh, whoa.
And the other NPCs can't. They just live their lives. Right. But so you start out as just this visitor, and then you can become a soldier, a muse, a hawker, or a dealer. And the soldier is like the Malay guy.
Take me to your dealer.
And the muse is the magic user, and a hawker is kind of like the sneaky ranger scout type dude. And
I know who I'd play.
The dealer is kind of weird because apparently they have purpose in combat and whatnot, but they're like your artisan and merchant type people.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I can't really quite understand. So anyway, after you pick one of those, they then branch out again, and you can become like a defensive or offensive soldier, or a healer, or a damage dealer, mage, or et cetera, et cetera.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's also got a very fantasy slash sci-fi type thing going on, because there's like 7 planets that you go to, and so you're moving from planet to planet, and there's like robots and stuff, but there's also swords and magic and et cetera, et cetera. It looks like it'd be actually kind of interesting, but I could not get into how the characters look. That right there just totally threw it off, because I didn't feel like being some wide-eyed 13-year-old anime character. But it nothing special in the end.
Right. There's nothing that's like, oh, this is the World of Warcraft killer here. Yeah. Didn't think so. I see a lot of these, too, online. I'm like, why are you even trying? Why are you even putting this game out? Just hold on to it and work on it. Wait another year or two, and then
after the WoW craze has died off a little bit,
after everybody's like, "Wait a minute, this game blows." Yeah, people will come around to their senses. They'll come back though. It's just going to take some time. Now, this is really awesome. This is actually the shit here. This is something we don't get to do like ever. We try to talk about music every now and again, right? And I suck horribly at it, but it's still a lot of fun to try to do because music's good. Music's part of entertainment. I like to sit here and listen to music while I'm playing games. That's not game music most of the time. But we actually have something that is kind of game music some of the time.
This is cool.
It is just plain cool. This is okay. You gotta go follow along, play along at home with us here. It's YMCK.net. Okay, and I've actually had the link on the site there for a couple days, hoping to stir up a little interest so people, will wonder about it. And they probably haven't heard any of it though, but at least they've gotten a chance to like look at it and kind of get excited to hear it. And the really good news is we're going to get to play. We're allowed to play one of their tracks. We're going to do it to close the show this week. It's Magical 8-Bit Tour by YMCK, and we actually have the whole CD here. It's called Family Music. If you look at the website.
Yeah, they contacted us. We got swag.
Yeah, how awesome is that? Okay, that is dope. Like the real actual CD and everything. It is fucking cool. Okay, and so is the music, though. It's so hard to describe. Let me try. Okay, they've been around for quite some time, actually. May of 2003, and I seriously doubt that like anybody listening to this, that we're this is the first anybody's heard of it. I'm sure that those listeners that have heard of this, and they're just like, why haven't you guys talked about them yet, And nobody's, I've never seen it before. And they've been around since May 2003. Well,
I don't know how much our American listeners, at least, have heard of this.
Well, I don't know, but I don't know. The kind of crowd that listens to us, though, would definitely have stumbled across this at some point, I would think. The music, it's a 50s, 60s jazz type sound with like 8-bit Nintendo sounds in it. With Japanese vocals, though.
Not just the sounds in it. The whole music is made with 8-bit music.
It's crazy. It's awesome. Like the first thing you hear is just like, wow. Like, it takes you back. The minute you hit play, boom. I'm back when I am 7 years old again. And I loved it because I can sit down and listen to it. And what gets me about the type of music, it's definitely something I've never heard. It's not like it's, you could not say this is techno. You could not say this is jazz. This goes back to my argument about trying to label music where I have no fucking idea what music is. Like as far as like the label goes. I'm like, dude, what the hell is this? What would you call this so that I can look for more that's like that? I cannot label this, but it's definitely a very unique sound that works out really well.
Yeah, I'm not so sure there is more like this.
Yeah, that is a good point.
But there should be.
There should be. No, absolutely there should be. It's three Japanese people. There is one female in the band, and God, I do not want to butcher their names, but I've got to try. Midori is the female on vocals. Oh, boy.
Nakamura.
Animations and keyboard. I guess I'm sure he does all the video stuff too. And Yokimura, Y-O-K-E-M-U-R-A.
That's A. That's Yokemura.
Yokemura, okay. Yeah. Keyboard and lyrics arrangement. They played live at all kinds of stuff, too. Like, at festivals, clubs, concerts, all kinds of crazy stuff, too. They had, like, if you go to their site, you can see where they're going to be, too. So if you want to catch this. And in fact, I think I saw something. They're going to Taiwan. I could have sworn soon. But they play, of course, mostly, I guess, all over Japan, mm-hmm. which is dope, because if I was ever there, I would so love to go see that. That would be dope. Oh, my God, that would kick ass. I don't know how well this goes over with other people, though. And that's the only concern I have with this. Because I've tried, like, listening to this, like, at work.
You know? I'm sure that went over real well.
It didn't, right? Now, because I got a lot of weird looks. But I also did get the, wow, what is this? You know? And mm-hmm. it was usually from people that are gamers.
Right.
So they knew where I was coming from. And they were like, you know, this is cool. And because it's got, like, a really cool, like, you know, the beat is, like, it's smooth. Right, and then you've got these sounds that you know and recognize.
Well, it's very jazzy.
Yeah. I mean, it's good stuff. And then you've got these really awesome vocals over the whole thing, which I cannot tell you not one word that is said.
Well, except for that one song.
With the MC Hawking type sounding voice in it. Yeah, or yeah, what's his name? Stephen Hawking. I swear to God, it sounds like him. You know, but yeah, it's. I like that song a lot, though, actually. It's funny. I find myself playing that one quite a bit for some reason. Maybe it's just because I can actually kind of understand it, you know? Well, at least when that voice comes on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't understand because, you know, she sings in Japanese. But it's pretty, though. Like, it sounds right, you know? And I would not want it butchered, you know, with, like, English or something else. So it's actually really smooth. I like it a lot. And had a hard time with it with a few people at work, though, because they were just like, what on earth are you listening to? And it's like, okay, well, you don't play any games, so I don't understand you to understand at all what this is supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know? But there was some people that, you know, that were like, wow, what is this? And I was able to give out the website address, and they were just like, wow, okay, I'm going to check this out. And they were kind of interested, but I don't know what's happening, but, yeah, you know, to each his own. But this definitely helps get the word out a bit, I think, you know, and I urge everybody to check this out. Check them out, YMCK. And we're actually going to get to stay tuned for the end of the show because you're going to get to hear a track of theirs called Magical 8-Bit Tour. YMCK.net. Contact it's info@YMCK.net. It's on their website. If you had questions and wanted to, I'm sure, find out where they're playing, whatever, and can get there, that's all on the site, too. So that is dope. Movies. Did you watch shit? No, you watched Transporter 2.
Yeah, I saw Transporter 2. I really, really liked the first one. It's probably even one of my favorite action films.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had a serious blast watching the Transporter 1. Transporter 2 is not as good.
Really?
It's got a little more cheese in certain areas. The storyline is not quite as good. The major car scene is not quite as good because in the first one, it's all in, like, France or some old European country. Yeah. They have those tiny lanes.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
And he's just... Rawr! And in this one, it's in America, and so the white lanes are nice and wide, and it just doesn't have quite that same punch. The fight scenes are still really cool. Whoever their choreographer is, it does a really good job. And so does he, Awesome Rob, or Handsome Rob.
Handsome Rob.
He does a good job.
Jason... Stratham.
That's it.
Holy
Stratholm.
It's Stratholm, I think.
Yeah.
Or Strath. Yeah.
It's
Stratholm.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Hey, that was a step in the right direction for us, all right?
Even straight off the old noggin, not even written down or anything. But it was okay. The problem is it pales in comparison to the first one.
That's sad shit.
Yeah, basically... It's about a kid who, this guy kidnaps a kid that the transporter has been, like, driving to school. And is going to put a virus in him so that he will infect his dad, who is, like, some politician or something. And then the politician's going to go to a meeting and infect everybody. And the transporter dude finds out about it and tries to stop it and... It just wasn't as good.
That's too bad. I really, really have to watch it, though.
Yeah.
Because I liked the first one so much. So is it a bad movie?
No, it is entertaining.
Okay, good. Thank God.
I'm going to give it a 6.
A 6 out of 875.
Yeah.
All right.
And where I would have given the Transporter 1
like an 825. 825, totally. Yeah. Right. I'm laughing because I said that at work on accident. Somebody, we were talking about some movie, and I was like, yeah, it's like a... In fact, it was about the movie I'm going to talk about here. I actually saw Crash, and I was like, yeah, it's whatever, out of 875. And I got the strangest look, and it just slipped out. And the guy I was talking to was like, what? I was like, oh, shit. I had to explain, like, I just like to give stuff ratings on money, how much you would have paid. And he's like, okay, terrific. And walked off and left me alone. But let's see. I saw Crash, which I heard a lot about before it came out. Like, not about the story. I heard people saying, I gotta see this movie Crash. I'm like, what the hell? I've never heard of this before. Oh, it looks so awesome. Okay. Never heard of it.
I've never even heard of it.
Dude, straight up, you know how the Blockbuster employees are, the Hollywood video people are. They're like the kid on Scream. You know, what's his name? The crazy fucking guys that are way into movies too much.
Right.
They're like that. And I straight up walked into Blockbuster and was like, do you have a movie called Crash? And they like looked at me. What? What is that? What is that? Like a week ago.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, wow, okay, you know. And I actually had one of the guys look it up, and he's like, yeah, this is a movie, but we don't have it. Like, oh. not this is coming out. Not, oh yeah, this is released. Not, yeah, that should be any day now. Not, hang tight. Yeah, it's a movie, but we don't have it. You know, as if it was like, you know, some obscure random thing. And then I'm hearing all this stuff from people, though, about, not about it, but that they dying to see this movie. So when I finally saw it on accident, just stumbled into Blockbuster randomly, you know, to see what came out, I see this movie Crash there. I picked it up, and it's one of these movies that you really have to be the kind of person to appreciate this kind of film, or you will hate it. It will be a $2 movie if you do not like movies that have no plot. Okay.
What sort of person likes movies with...
I'm raising my hand. I like movies, and I watch movies for 100% pure entertainment. And I let the movie tell the story. Okay? So whether I'm watching some crap like, you know, Hostage, where I know the plot is somebody gets kidnapped or whatever, so they're held hostage in this house, and blah, 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 blah. That's what I'm wanting to see. I rented it. I get myself in the mindset for that kind of a movie. If I'm watching RoboCop, I know what I'm getting myself into because I read the back of the box and I know what I'm going to see and I know from word of mouth and you know what you're getting into. This movie, the box, is like the most obscure thing. It's like, follow the stories of 10 people and how they interact with each other and wind up through a wacky series of events running into each other kind of thing. You know, it's just like, what the hell?
Okay.
It's like a 2-hour soap opera or something. You know, it's just like shit happens. Okay, but if you like that kind of thing, the randomness of the movie, where it's just like, it'll hop from character to character to character, okay, and you're at first just totally lost. You're like, okay, whatever, these are little like short stories that have nothing to do with fuck all. But then it starts putting into place as you go to like the second round, where they start going through everybody again. Where like, the example being, okay, let's say in the first round, they'll introduce like, you know, 10 characters and... You know, like all 10 or whatever. Then all of a sudden you see two that were like in the restaurant. They were sitting next to two other customers. You know, they were the other parts of the story, but you didn't know that when you first saw it. Then it flips over to their side.
Okay, I like those.
Right? It's kind of fun to follow it and figure out who's who. And, you know,
I liked that about, say, Pulp Fiction.
Right. Okay. So this wasn't chopped up like, you know, backwards or anything, though. This was okay. Well, I guess it has to jump back and forth, but it wasn't gnarly like Pulp Fiction where you like start it or end at the start and shit. But like, you know, so you've got like, there's cops, and of course, you know, one of the cops does something bad. Turns out the guy that he did something bad to was some, you know, let's just say, you know, whatever, like high ranking government official or whatever. Then his wife is all mad at him, and then like, maybe something happens to his wife, and then somebody else they ran into, somebody the cop arrested that day, winds up saving the wife, and then, you know what I mean? It's like this crazy spaghetti story. But, like, it winds up, like, pretty serious, though. And, like, Ludacris is in it. It's funny. He's his story, his whole thread is something else, you know? And I don't know. It's kind of
cool.
Does
it at least, do all the threads at least come together to something?
Well, some of them do. Some of them really seemed like, wow, that was really interesting to watch how that unfolded. And, you know, wow, that was really, really entertaining. But then there's one or two, like Sandra Bullock, right? Her whole thread in that was so retarded. It was like, why is she even in this? I mean, like, she had a point. She was there for a point, and she was in the movie for a point. But then it was like, well, because she's in the movie, we'll just give her her own like whole plot thread,
mm-hmm.
but it totally seemed like an afterthought, and like it didn't matter shit for anything. It just seemed like, oh, that's just gay. Why did they even worry about her last scene? We could have done just fine not knowing anything about her anymore because she just seems so unimportant,
mm-hmm.
you know? But there were some that you were just like sucked into it. Now, maybe it was because I identified with some of the characters more, and so I paid more attention to them. That is a very real possibility.
Right.
So when you're watching this, you'd probably come out with different feelings than I do. But this movie it's a very loose movie, you know, I mean, you're not like stressing out. You're just kind of just chilling and letting it tell its tale, you know.
So I'm still trying to. Is there no central story?
Well, at the end, okay, it does open up and end at the same spot. It does start out somewhere that you kind of forget about real quick because so much happens in between, and where it ends, you're like, wow, I can't believe that came to that. But again, it's just another one of the it was maybe the longest and the most detailed, I guess, of the threads throughout the movie.
Okay.
Where there's these other threads going through it, which are still entertaining though, which is why I thought it was a very good watch. Yet I have ran into plenty of people already that hated it. Okay. Now, I would like to say that I would have paid $7 to watch that movie.
Really?
I was entertained. I was straight up, wow, this is really good shit. Because it was just fun to follow, and it was deep shit that happened to some of these people. Really disturbing shit, or really powerful, strong messages, and very real circumstances. But then I talked to a lot of people about the movie, you know, the last couple of days. They were just like, the movie didn't do anything for me. It was kind of lame, and blah, 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 and I didn't like it, you know. So, I mean, you really gotta like that kind of, the just open, multiple story kind of come together at the end in some, you know, weird twist of fate kind of thing, you know, and it's not like they all come together. They each had their own individual little parts too. So it was almost like three whole stories with parts wrapped around it all together. It was really bizarre.
What movie was that was like that you got me to watch that I had never seen about drugs?
About drugs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember watching one like, oh god.
The chick with the drugs that she lost and then she brought aspirin. The dude
oh,
in the
go.
Fucking, yeah, 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 yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was kind of like Go, but like three times the stories, though.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good example. Yeah, it was kind of like Go, but it was like three times the craziness in the crossovers,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you like, and I loved Go. Go, I think, is better than this.
Yeah, I liked Go.
Go, to me, was better than this, but I think it was the subject that was I enjoyed better, and the characters I enjoyed better in Go.
Right.
But as far as like complication of plot, this must have been some shit to write. So, but it was pretty good. How are we doing on time? It's time to go. Nope, it's time to go. We're done. I got nothing else.
Yeah, we are done.
Yeah. Don't tune out just yet, because you've got YMCK coming up. It's Magical 8-Bit Tour is the name of the track from their album Family Music. The website is ymck.net. You can actually get their CD, get all of their stuff, and they were actually featured on compilations and stuff, too. Like, with other bands and whatnot, and they work together with other people and stuff. So, if you dig this kind of thing, and I know a lot of you out there will, because I really like this stuff, too, you can track it down and find out where else they've been. They've got a whole list on their website of exactly where you can find their stuff. All right?
Later!